on today's episode of Mentally Stronger.
You know, when I think about the people that are, that I admire the most in the world and throughout history, I would say they all have, there are several things in common, but one of those is a very heightened level of awareness. They have both self-awareness and others' awareness. It's a form of emotional and spiritual intelligence. There was a study, by the way, and I love the name of the study. It was called the Batman Study. And they,
yes.
Yeah, and they did this study. And so this is how I think about this. They did this study with kids, and they had three groups of kids. And it's in one group, and they were like building blocks and building things in this study. And they had them do certain tasks. And one group, they said, hey, go in there and do a task. They had a second group, and they said, hey, we want you to be just self-aware that we want you to do this task, do it well. And you're John, you're doing a great job. You know, we think you're gonna do a great job, whatever. And then they had a third group and they said, hey, you're gonna build that building. Who's your favorite superhero? Batman, Dora the Explorer, Princess Jasmine, whoever. And what they found in this study was the group that believed, had this identity that I was a superhero or I was a princess or whatever it was, they were 23% more effective in terms of what they completed and what they got done and how much longer was the time period, how much longer they worked in the study. That is so telling to me. In the book, they gave a term, self-distancing.
Welcome to Mentally Stronger, the show that will help you develop the mental strength you need to reach your greatest potential, no matter what life throws your way. I'm Amy Morin, psychotherapist, mental strength trainer, and an international best-selling author of 6 books on mental strength. Every Monday, I introduce you to a guest whose story and expertise can inspire you to think, feel, and do your best in life. And the fun part is, we record it all from a sailboat in the Florida Keys. Now let's dive into today's episode. Today, I'm talking to Dr. Josh Axe. He's a physician who says the most powerful tool you have to heal your body is your mind. He's the co-founder of Ancient Nutrition and the best-selling author of several books that mostly focus on food, like Eat Dirt, Keto Diet. As you'll hear in this episode, however, his own health crisis taught him that not everything can be healed with food, and that mindset is a big key to recovery. Just to be clear, you might not agree with everything he says today. He's got some bold statements about just how powerful your mind can be in terms of healing your body. And I don't want anybody to start blaming themselves for their illnesses or their lack of recovery, but I encourage you to stay tuned because there's certainly plenty of scientific claims that show your mind has a powerful impact on your body. Dr. Axe is also the author of a new book called Think This, Not That. And today he's sharing how to use your mind to heal your body. Dr. Josh Axe, welcome to Mentally Stronger.
Amy, thanks for having me.
I'm excited to talk to you. Most of your books that you've written so far have been all about nutrition and how to change our eating habits. This one is about mindset, though. What made you decide to write a book about mindset?
Well, it was a health crisis. And what's interesting is what got me into natural medicine was a health crisis with my mom. And she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I saw her go through all the trials and trauma of that and wanted to help people from that experience a natural way of healing without all the side effects. And so that really turned me on to food as medicine. Now, what turned me on to what I'll call mindset medicine was a really crazy health crisis I had about just almost 2 years ago now, about a year and a half ago. And I hurt my back lifting weights. And I went in to get something called stem cell in my disc. And it's using totally natural healing factors from my own body. And I'd had it done once before. And I felt like it got me like probably 70, 80% better. And I thought, well, I'm going to go and get it done one more time. And I should get back to 100%. You go in, do the procedure. Few days later, something just feels off. And for the next few weeks, I just kept feeling worse and worse. Right before this, I mean, I was squatting, deadlifting, swimming, running. I was really, really great shape. Finally, one morning I woke up and I couldn't walk at all. And so I call an ambulance, go get an MRI, and they say, you have a spinal infection. So when I did the procedure, we don't know if somehow in your body or the needle got infected. And this can sometimes happen with surgery, but it's very, very rare. I looked online, I was like one in almost a million for this to happen. but they said your disc is infected. It's in your bone now, and you have an infection in your bone. It's called osteomyelitis. It's eating away at your bone, and you even have an abscess growing. And they said this is really serious. And so I flew to Florida. I was in Puerto Rico at the time and had to be medevaced on an airplane to Puerto Rico, met with an infectious disease specialist. The crazy thing was, they said, well, we don't actually know if it's an infection or not. They said, we think it could be, but we're not 100% sure. It could also be when they went and they injured your disc and it's just swollen. And so over the course of a few weeks, well, I'm like, in the meantime, I'm going to do everything I can naturally, at least to try and if it is, stop it. So I got in a hyperbaric chamber for 2 hours a day, a hard chamber. I got 4 hours of IVs a day. I only ate meat and vegetables. They were the only thing I ate. Did, you know, prayer. I did everything I could to start healing, and it wasn't getting any better. And so finally I got on, talked to the doctor about doing IV antibiotics. I hadn't taken a medication since I was in high school. Okay.
Wow.
So I've been very holistic and natural. I'm 42 years old now. And so I ended up doing that, but I was able to cut down the time greatly, because sometimes they'll put you on it for 12 weeks. I was able to be on them for 4 weeks. But after a few weeks on those with all the other therapies, it started getting better. But I will say this, one of the things that was so crazy is I was feeling worse and worse and worse for 3 months. And then I didn't walk for a month. And at one point, even after taking the antibiotics, everything, like, I was not feeling better. And for the first time in my life, I had felt emotions I'd never felt before. Like, I had never truly felt despair or hopelessness. Because I went from being in the best shape of my life to when I went and met with the infectious disease doctor, here's exactly what he told me. He said, I want to give you the best. I said, hey, what are the scenarios in terms of my outcome? And he said, well, one, best case scenario is you have pain the rest of your life. You know, anytime, and his exact words were, anytime weather blows through, you'll be the first to know it because you'll have major arthritic pain and bone pain. And I said, okay. And he said, you know, worst case scenario is you're, you know, disabled the rest of your life. And I said, okay. And so after that, that's hard to hear, right? I mean, it's very, very hard to hear, because, you know, I start having these things of what I shouldn't have, maybe I shouldn't have got this. I shouldn't have got this done. And I started going through like all the worst case scenarios and going down a rabbit hole. And I did this for about 24 hours. And the next morning I woke up and I realized this is not serving me. This is not good for me to go down the worst case scenarios. And I knew from reading the research, I need to focus on the best case scenarios. When we hear these stories about people that have, it could have been an athlete and they were paralyzed in an accident, and the doctors tell them you'll likely never walk again, and they do. What were they thinking? They knew they were going to walk again. They knew they were going to be healed. And so I had to have that same faith and that same belief. And of course, most people are familiar with the placebo effect. It works both ways, though. When you look at the research, you have placebo effects. You also have nocebo effect. There's a story of a man who went and got a diagnosis of liver cancer. They said, you have 3 months to live. And this is a true case study. Died 3 months later. Well, they went and did an autopsy and found, no, there was only simply a benign tumor on the side of his liver, and he should have had a completely normal, healthy life. He was in his 40s, should have lived to be in his 80s. And so all that being said, I knew the power of the mind and something called neuroplasticity. Your body will start creating new neural pathways in order to heal. And so I really had to be able to tap into that and know I was going to be healed. All that being said, I didn't walk in total for almost a full year. I was on, I didn't walk for about 10 and a half months. Then I was on a walker for about 6 weeks. And then I got off the walker, started moving again. And then finally, I just have gotten better and better and better. And so now it's been about, I mean, this time last year, I still hadn't walked. It wasn't until May, mid-May. And so all that being said, I just kept getting better and better and better. Now I'm lifting weights. I do have a little bit of pain, but I actually think it might be cleared fully up by the end of the year, you know? And so I'm probably about 80% better from that. And I'm already better than what the doctor said I would be, because the weather comes through, I don't notice anything. And I will just say this, one of the things I realized as I went through this stuff, Amy, is that I thought that food is medicine was the most important thing. It's really not. Your mindset is the most powerful healing tool you have. And it's so important that we're really conscious and that we are leveraging our mind to be able to go and rewire and create neural pathways for us to heal. It's important for not just that, though. It's important for if people want to experience a breakthrough and thriving in any area of their life, whether it's having better relationships, whether it's having a more successful career, whether it be, as we've talked about, healing, whatever it is, your mindset and the way you think about things, your beliefs and your thoughts are the most important thing there is. And so anyways, that was sort of the experience I went through. And I learned a lot from the process. I'm grateful for that. But it was definitely, you know, it was definitely full of a lot of unexpected trials.
What a story. I'm so grateful that you're feeling better and that things have turned around for you. And happy that you wrote this book to share what you've learned along the way. And I think that takes some humility to say, all right, my last book, few books were about food being the end all be all. And now I'm realizing, yes, that's important, but your mindset is another huge factor in the overall puzzle. What did you do? What was it with your mindset that changed or shifted to start to help you heal?
Yeah. And I want to say this too, like somebody said, well, that must've been hard even being in a wheelchair. I wasn't in a wheelchair. I couldn't move out of bed. I was literally in bed for almost a year, and I would crawl to the, you know, I would crawl to the pool. I mean, that's the only thing I could do is crawl places. And so that being said, like here is my mindset. By the way, my mindset is very, I'm a very faith and family driven person. And so for me, I really needed to tap into my purpose. I had somebody come up to me when I was in the middle of all this, and he said, hey, what have you been doing recently? And I said, well, I've been praying. I've been spending time with my family. I've been writing a book. I went back and I actually got a degree at Johns Hopkins, a master's in leadership degree. I was running my business. Like I was doing all this stuff. He goes, wow, I would have just been eating Cheetos and drinking Mountain Dew. And I said, you know, for me, like I am so fueled with purpose. I think this is so important. You know, I read a study, and this is one thing I put in the book is in helping people discover their purpose and live it out. Only 25% of people in a survey said they know what their purpose is. This is a really large survey. And so a lot of people don't know what that is. And I think that when I look at, by the way, lifespan as well, when people don't know their purpose later on in life, they actually die early. A lot of times this is why people will pass away sometimes after they retire, because part of their purpose and what they felt like they were contributing goes away. So for me, it was really all about purpose. I think that's really what helped my mindset, is being really clear about who I am and what I'm called to do. And so for me, I really tapped into faith, as I believe I'm a child of God. And that really means, what am I called to do? Love people and make earth a heavenly place. How do I make the earth the best imaginable place? And I'm really into regenerative agriculture, and I own a 4,000 acre farm with a friend of mine. And so we really are into helping heal the planet. But I really went and tapped into, like, I want to contribute as much as I possibly can. And so I believe that God has called me to help people heal body, mind, and spirit. And so I said, I've been doing this, helping people with this with body. I want to help them do it with their mind as well now. Help them heal, help them grow, help them thrive. And so one thing I really did as well is I spent some time in visualization. And I have a process, I call it visualization to realization. Now, even before that, I think there's a process of prioritization, making sure you're visualizing the right things. Because I've done some coaching and working with patients in my life, and I always ask them, I said, hey, make sure it's what you really want. Because you might say you want the Lamborghini, but is that better or having just a great family life, or when you're in your 80s, your kids want to come home and spend Christmas and all the holidays with you, right? So I really got clear and spent time saying, what do I want in life? What do I want my future to look like? And so I started picturing, one of the things I was doing right before this, the week before I left, is I had a 2-year-old daughter and I was throwing her up in the air in the pool. And so that was one of my things, is I want to get back and be swimming with my daughter and able to, you know, throw her up in the pool. And I also went beyond that, and I thought about, what else do I want to be able to do with my, I have a second daughter who's just born. She's weeks old right now. And so my second daughter, so with my daughters, I want to be that dad where we have a really deep relationship and they're coming home at holidays and I'm able to, you know, invest into their lives and speak fatherly wisdom. And so I saw myself doing that in my 80s and 90s. I want to live to be 100 years old. I want to, And so I started just visualizing like what our life looked like. I got really clear on that. And I got really clear on that in my career and my faith life and all these different areas. And one of the things, I had read a study that talked about the placebo effect. And they said there's a way to take the placebo effect and amplify it. And it was this. They said, in this study, they said, visualize it very clearly what you want. They said, number two, you really want to tap into that vision more clearly by thinking about or feeling in the moment right now, the exact emotions you're feeling at that time. So when I'm throwing my daughter in the pool, I was joyful. I was happy. I was laughing. I was energized. And so, and I help patients do this now too. It's like, if you are struggling with, let's say I take care of patients with something like hypothyroidism or Hashimoto's, and they just have low energy, you know, they feel overwhelmed, all those things. I say, hey, in 5 years, let's talk about what does your life look like once we've reversed this condition and it's healed, it's been healed and improved. Well, I've got energy again. Okay, how does that feel? Okay, I've got, and so you really want to tap into that emotion. The third thing is you want to lay out a very specific strategy and plan in order for that to become a reality. Because here's something a lot of people don't believe. There's a whole movement around positivity.
Right.
And I think being positive is good. But if you're just positive, sometimes your brain, your neurological system, it doesn't actually believe you. And so I think there's an element of you want to be positive and prove to yourself that that can actually happen. And so what I did with that was I really laid out and I said, you know what, Ryan Shazier, he was an NFL player, broken spine, all these issues, and he's walking again. And so there were those sort of things I became very aware of, but I really tapped into visualization. And then I really tapped into, and the whole visualization relation process is prioritize, visualize, strategize. So lay out that specific strategy as well. Systematize. So put in those daily habits in your schedule that is going to help you get there. So for me, it was doing cold plunge and hot tub. Like I would alternate to get more blood flow. I would get in a hyperbaric chamber. I ate and took my supplements daily. I started walking as much as I could. And so I had this, and then I started visualizing every morning. And so I spent time in visualization and prayer and that I would be healed. And I think that's an important process. So anyways, and I have a really cool graphic in the book that really walking people through, here's how to go from the process of prioritization all the way through realizing your healing, realizing your breakthrough in life. And so that was sort of the mental process I went through with my mindset.
Let's take a minute to share some offers from our sponsors. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Maybe it's drained because you're just stretched too thin. Or maybe you're fully charged, but in all honesty, it's because you didn't go out that much this winter. My therapy clients often describe themselves as either extroverts or introverts. But our social lives are actually a lot more complicated than that. It's important to learn, what's the right amount of socializing for you? What kind of people or social activities are best for you? And how can you charge your social battery when you feel worn down? Therapy gives you the self-awareness to build a social life that won't drain your battery. I love helping clients in my therapy office learn new skills, set healthy boundaries, and do everything they need so that they can develop their relationships that help them live their best life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. I've tried BetterHelp for myself, and I loved how convenient and flexible it is. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/mentallystrong today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/mentallystrong. Brainstorm. What's something that works so well that it's basically magic? Air conditioning? Noise-canceling headphones? Meeting-free Fridays? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the did we just hit $1 million stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/mentallystronger, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/mentallystronger now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/mentallystronger. Okay, we're back.
Oh, all right. Well, now I have lots more questions. When it comes to visualization, so there's some research that will say, don't just visualize the outcome. And it sounds like you you visualize the steps along the way, which I think reinforces that. Because we know, if the reason I bring this up and I talk about this on the podcast as a therapist, I had a lot of people that would have a vision board and they'd put the Lamborghini on the vision board and then sit on the couch and wait for the universe to give them the Lamborghini. And we know from the research, even sometimes when you just visualize like yourself crossing the finish line at the marathon, instead of visualizing yourself running and putting in the hard work, that it can actually backfire.
That's right.
So to be clear, you visualized yourself doing those things and then you actually did them, obviously, the hot and cold plunge, and you did the work as well.
Yeah. And I want to go back to the study you're referencing because it's crazy. When I read that study, basically, you know, I found that if you visualize it and sort of experience that one moment, but not the steps along the way, part of you already believes you've done it. And right. It's also less credit. It's crazy. Yeah.
Right. And our brain celebrates, and then you have less motivation to actually follow it through. So, okay. So you did that, then the steps along the way.
And one other thing, you know, I used to work with Olympic swimmers, and I was one of their physicians. And I watched this interview when I was there with Michael Phelps, and they asked him about visualization. And they said, hey, are you, they said, what are you doing visualizing? And they said, oh, are you visualizing yourself winning? He goes, well, I do that. But he goes, no, I visualize every stroke, every turn, every part of the whole race.
Yeah. Okay. So that's an important thing, because I think sometimes people think it's just about visualizing that you're up on the pedestal getting the gold medal, not that you're visualizing those. And then you did the work too, because like you said, there's positive thinking is really powerful, but thinking should just be the first step. And then you actually have to do some stuff along the way. It's not just about, I'm going to think amazing things and the universe is going to gift it to me. Sometimes you still need to put in the hard work as well.
Yeah. Yes.
So, and I love the placebo effect as well. And for people that come into therapy and they say, well, I know therapy doesn't work. I say, you're right. It's not going to work for you if you come in and you're 100% convinced that it is never going to work. Or even when people take an antidepressant and they say, I know these don't work, I'm just taking them so that I can prove to my doctor that they don't work. Those people do not get better as compared to somebody who says, you know, I at least have an open mind about this, or I am going to believe that this could help me feel better. Because then they start to notice, perhaps I do feel just even a hair better today than I did yesterday. And when you notice the positive, I think it then gets the ball rolling. And then people are like, oh, I feel a little bit better today, so I'm going to smile. And maybe you smile at somebody and they smile back. And then it just sort of sets things in motion.
Yeah. You know, I'm curious. I have a question for you. So when I was running my full-time functional medicine practice, I could almost immediately or very early on when I was sitting down with a patient, tell if they were going to likely experience great results or not. Because there were two mindsets with this. Like, one mindset was, I believe I'm going to heal. And also, like, for instance, they would sit down and maybe say, I'm doing Special K cereal with skim milk. I'd say, that's not the best. Let's start doing a superfood, like a berry smoothie. And I'd get one of two reactions. One was, that sounds great. Hey, let's go, you know. And some was, oh no, I can't have my cereal. Oh no. It was this very negative, you're depriving me of something and taking something away. And so, I mean, have you noticed that oftentimes when you sit down with a client, you'll notice, and I'm not saying always, right? Because sometimes people surprise you, but sometimes you'll sit down and say, this person's going to have a hard time.
Yeah.
Because they really,
Yeah, sometimes we'll come up with some strategies of here are five things that often help with depression. And before they'll even hear me out, they'll say, well, that's not going to work for me. And they'll have 100 reasons why it won't work. And sometimes people have very valid reasons. I can't do that because of my schedule or this or that. But they're also then not open to making any changes so that they could try. And a lot of things in life are about behavioral experiments. You don't know what's going to work for you until you try it. And if you aren't willing to try it, then we're going to stay right where we are.
Yeah, so true.
So then in terms of our brain and healing, again, I love all the studies on strange things, like the one about if you visualize yourself lifting weights, you can actually like build some muscle from just visualizing it instead of going to the gym. I think the power between our brain and our bodies, we're not even really realizing the full potential of it yet, but I feel like we're slowly getting there.
Yeah. You know who used to do that is Arnold Schwarzenegger. Now, when I was in college, now this is like 21 years ago or longer, but I remember reading his book. And then there were studies done from this that he would picture, he said, when he was lifting weights, he really, there was a mind muscle connection. He was very focused on it swelling and getting bigger. He said, I would picture it turning into a mountain. And so anyways, but yes, there are a lot of studies around that. It's kind of crazy in terms of what you can actually do. And again, this is this neuroplasticity. Your body starts creating new brain, neural pathways in order to build muscle, heal your thyroid, regenerate new tissues, create stem cells. And so, you know, and I want to say, I think it's just that combination that's so important, because you can just visualize something and it might do some of what you're visualizing. It will, but it's so much more if you visualize and then do the thing to actually help you build or create or whatever you're doing. And so I think that's a important distinction.
And now tell me this. So for somebody who doesn't heal, I've had loved ones that have passed away from things, and yeah. I wouldn't want to imply it's because they didn't have a positive enough attitude.
Sure.
Where do we draw that line? That it's not because they didn't believe they weren't going to be healed enough. It's that perhaps no matter how positive their mindset was, it wasn't going to work anyway.
Yeah. So I think there's a few things here. One is now some of this could, you know, step into the realm of spirituality in terms of, you know, free will and how much does God intervene in certain things. And so, but I would say that, I've worked with a lot of people with cancer and a lot of people with really serious health issues. And, I think that there is a strength of mind and there is I think that there is both sort of this, the strength of belief that I will be healed. And there's also an element, how strong is that belief? So let's say that how strong is the belief, but also how strong is that thing you're working against, right? I just think that there are levels of things that are, let me give an example. If I believe that I can, sorry, this is a hard one. It would take, you know, if for somebody to be able to pick up a car, right? I mean, that would take a lot of belief, but also a lot of, I'm going to actually try and do it. And mm-hmm. This has happened with moms, right? That they're not even thinking about it. They just know that they've got to do it. And to an extent, there's no amount of belief that they can't do it. But if they tried to do that with a building, it's just not going to happen. It's too strong. So I don't know if this metaphor is making sense, but my point is I do believe in the power of belief, but I believe that your results are going to be based pretty strongly upon how strong is the belief and how strong is that thing that you're up against.
Okay, that makes sense. And I think that's a good way to put it, because I wouldn't want anybody to think, gosh, if my cousin, we're implying that my cousin didn't believe enough and that's why they didn't heal from what their illness were or anything like that. And along the same lines, where does the idea of perhaps acceptance come in? So I've worked with somebody who had a spinal cord injury who thought, I need to be able to walk, and then I'm going to be this inspiration to everybody, and then I'll have a good life. And in reality, though, it took years. He was making some progress, but it was incredibly slow, and he was just like waiting for his life to get better once he could walk. At some point, he decided, you know what? I could actually use a wheelchair and probably still live a pretty awesome life. Yeah. And when he made that shift, his life got so much better because he wasn't waiting for life to change for him to be 100% healed to feel better. He said, actually, I can live just like this and still have an amazing life. So where does that come in? The belief that I must heal versus the acceptance of, here's the hand I was dealt and I'm going to do the best I can with what I have.
Yeah, I think there's a combination of two things that you want to be able to embrace at the same time. One, we always want to keep getting better, no matter where we're at in life. I want to get at least a little bit better tomorrow than I was today, or a little bit today that versus where I was yesterday. And so I can speak to this for myself. Even when I was having these spinal issues, I knew no matter what, I still want to try and move forward and get something, get better. At the same time, I need to be able to accept my limitations of today, right now where I'm at, and maximize today. I need to be able to, hey, you know what? I can't go and swim with my daughter in the pool, but I can lay with her in bed and watch Paw Patrol, which is what we did. You know, so I just had to accept where we were at in the moment, while at the same time trying to move forward. Now, and here again, going back to this, I think the mindset is, I want to get to the best I can possibly be. And that may not be walking again for somebody. It might be in a wheelchair, or it might be on a walker, whatever it is. So I think there's this combination of being really, still having a vision for the best possible outcome, but also accepting today where you're at and doing the best with what you have. And so that's the best I can explain that. But I think you kind of, there's these two things of like best possible outcome, best possible day today.
Yeah, I like that idea, because I feel like for some people, right, if we put off until we feel 100% better, that might not happen. It happens with mental health issues too, where somebody says, if I could just get rid of my anxiety, I could live a great life.
Yeah.
And then they're just waiting. And so it might be 5 years of battling anxiety, but they don't feel like they can live a good life until they get rid of it. And sometimes that may not necessarily happen.
I mean, it's such a good point. It's such a good point. That's something I kind of had to wrestle with, is if I can't get to where I was, can I still live a good life? And the answer is yes. You know, I mean, you can look throughout history, people who were disabled and the impact they had on the world. And it's, you know, whether it's Anne Frank or who, I mean, you know, Helen Keller, I mean, there's some amazing people. I met Helen Keller and there's a lot of people, you know, that's just really amazing. So anyways, yeah, I think that what you're saying is a really good point. You know, I had anxiety and I never had that before either. I mean, because I had a few times where I moved and like my back would grab and it was just excruciating pain. So I noticed at certain times I would just, if I thought about it, I would start sweating, and it was crazy to me. So I think, you know, I definitely developed more of an empathetic, compassionate heart for people who are struggling with those things. But yeah, to your point is, you know, we gotta maximize where we're at and live our best life, no matter what sort of, you know, handicaps we have.
Let's take a minute to share some offers from our sponsors. I used to think the key to staying hydrated was to drink more water. But drinking plain water actually won't meet all your hydration needs. You need electrolytes too. An electrolyte imbalance causes headaches, fatigue, cramps, brain fog, and weakness. I know this because I learned it the hard way. So I started drinking Element. It's a sugar-free electrolyte drink mix that doesn't have artificial colors or sketchy ingredients. My personal favorite is the watermelon salt. Getting my electrolytes back in balance cured my brain fog, and I have a lot more energy. Element is great for anyone who wants to restore their health through hydration. If you want to see how much better Element can make you feel, try it risk-free. Order it for yourself. I think that you'll love it, but if you don't, just let them know and they'll give you your money back, no questions asked. And right now, members of the Mentally Stronger community can receive a free Element sample pack with any order, so you can try all the flavors for yourself. Just go to drinkelement.com/stronger to claim your free sample pack. That's drinkelement.com/stronger. Okay, we're back. And so for somebody who's listening and maybe they say, you know, I'm not necessarily dealing with a health issue, but I want to use my mind to be the best I can, whether it's that I'm giving a speech or it's that I am spending time with my family or I'm out doing something that I don't normally do. You have any tips for how to use our minds to perform at our best or to be our best when we're doing something like that?
Yeah. You know, when I think about the people that are, that I admire the most in the world and throughout history, I would say there are several things in common, but one of those is a very heightened level of awareness. They have both self-awareness and others' awareness. It's a form of emotional and spiritual intelligence. And so, you know, here's what I would say. There was a study, by the way, and I love the name of the study. It was called the Batman Study. And they did this study. And so this is how I think about this. They did this study with kids, and they had three groups of kids. And it's in one group, and they were like building blocks and building things in this study. And they had them do certain tasks. And one group, they said, hey, go in there and do a task. They had a second group, and they said, hey, we want you to be just self-aware that, hey, we want you to do this task, do it well. And you're John, you're doing a great job. You know, we think you're gonna do a great job, whatever. And I'm massively summarizing here and giving my take on it. And then they had a third group and they said, hey, you're gonna build that building. Who's your favorite superhero? Batman, Dora the Explorer, Princess Jasmine, whoever. And what they found in this study was the group that believed, had this identity that I was a superhero or I was a princess or whatever it was, they were 23% more effective in terms of what they completed and what they got done and how much longer was the time period, how much longer they worked in the study. That is so telling to me. In the book, they gave a term, self-distancing. And then they went on, and there's another study I talk about, by the way, in the chapter of the book, and really get into. When you think about mystics and people that are really pastoral or priests or some of these mystics throughout history, whether it was a Maimonides or others, like you could throw, or Gandhi is a great example of this. You could throw a stone at them and hit them and they would not react. Like they were so self-aware and other aware because they're always in the state of not reacting emotionally. They already knew what the best reaction, they were always thinking, what's the best reaction for this? So they never reacted in the moment. They reacted based on having this sort of time and awareness of someone else. So an example of this would be, you have somebody who says something to you that's hurtful. Well, there's a few ways to react to that. The most common way is you throw something hurtful back. But if you're really aware of what's going on and what's going to be best for this situation, you're going to take that insult and then you're going to think, why did that person really do this? Let's go all the way to the root cause. You know, and I'm not telling everyone they have to be a psychologist, by the way. Now, someone like you, Amy, is maybe going to go even deeper and say, okay, that's a childhood trauma, that's a father issue, whatever. But my point there is like having some level of awareness of realizing, you know what? What is the most loving thing I can do for this person right now? What can I do to create? They just broke the bridge. What can I do to rebuild it? And so I think if people just going around can have that level of awareness, rather than focusing on self, they're focusing more on others and what they can do to love, serve, help build that bridge, create connection. I think that's the most powerful thing. So if you can walk around and it's like that. You're stepping outside of yourself and saying, what should Josh do in this situation? Right? And it's really a level of being very spiritual is what it is you're sort of doing that and you're going to a sort of another tier of thinking. And so that's what I would say.
Those are great strategies. And I love that study too about the Batman effect and just asking yourself, all right, what would Batman do right now? Yeah. We know that with kids. If your kid's cleaning their room and you yell, how's it going in there, Batman? They're more likely to stick with cleaning their room longer than if you call them by their name. And the other thing you just did is you called yourself Josh. We know from the research too that referring to yourself by your own name when you're thinking instead of saying, I am going to do this, if you call yourself by name, Amy's going to do this, Josh is going to do this, it tends to give us that distance from our emotions and then we are able to stick with something longer or we make healthier choices. So definitely powerful, powerful tools for anybody who says, I'm about to do something difficult or maybe I want to manage my reaction to this person who just did this thing. I love it.
That's so good.
So where can people go to learn more about you, to find out more about your book, and to learn more about all the cool things that you're doing?
Yeah. Can I give one more thing for everybody here?
Oh, sure. Please do.
Yeah, I won't take up much more time, but I'll say this to me was really big for me in terms of why I wrote the book and really what I think helped me experience a breakthrough. Because I think a lot of times, a lot of people are sitting in a place in life where they feel good, but they know it can get better. Like it's like sort of one breakthrough away. When I was in high school, I had a teacher tell me to stay after. I was a freshman in high school. And she said, Josh, would you stay after class? I stayed after class. She said to me, hey, what do you want to do after high school? And I said, well, I want to be a doctor. And my mom had just gone through cancer. And so I really was like, I want to help people get healthy and not have to have cancer. And I said, well, I want to be a doctor. And she literally laughed out loud. And she said, Josh, with your GPA, with how you're doing in class, you'll never go to college. My daughter has a 3.8 GPA and she barely got into med school. And she said, listen, you got an F on this paper. You got a D- in the class so far. You'll be lucky to pass. You need to do better. And I walked out of there and I just thought, wow, the thing that I took away at time being a 14-year-old was I'm not smart. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm not smart. And then 2 weeks later, my mom brought me to a doctor who then diagnosed me with ADHD and was like talking about me like I wasn't in the room. And I thought, well, gosh, not only am I not smart, I'm like, I'm medically not smart. There's something wrong with me. So throughout high school, I just really stopped trying. I barely graduated. I graduated with a C- GPA. And the only reason I graduated is I didn't want my dad to get too mad at me because my dad would just be irate if I didn't graduate high school. And so, and then I applied to colleges, got rejected by most, but there was a college I did want to go to and I got a letter back and it said, you're not accepted. But if you come to summer school and average above a 3.0 GPA, we'll let you into school. And I didn't want to be the kid that stayed home and didn't go to college. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to try. So I went to college and when, you know, one of the classes, the first class they had me take was English 101. Okay. And so I took this class and we had our first paper. I turned in my paper. And then after the class, I had Mrs. Williams was the teacher. And she said, hey, Josh, would you stay after? And I thought, oh no, this again. And she said, hey, what do you want to do? What's your major? Or, you know, and I said, well, I don't know yet. She said, well, I think you should consider being an English major or journalism major. And I said, okay. She said, you know what? You got the highest grade in the whole class on this paper. You got an A plus, you know, you got an A. And I will let you know, I think you're really, could be a really talented writer. And I said, okay. And I walked out and I literally had Amy, what I'll call kind of like a memory transplant or mindset transplant where I like my entire time in high school, I literally thought I wasn't smart. And then I had one teacher tell me, you're a good writer. And from then on, I thought, you know what? No, I just need to try. I am smart. I just need to try more. And so I ended up getting a 3.0 above that throughout college and getting my doctorate at Johns Hopkins. I averaged a 3.9 GPA. And then from there, went on to build a company that's valued at over $100 million. I've written 7 books. I was on the Inc. 5000 list multiple times. And I don't say any of that to brag. I just say that to say, like, if I would have held on to that one limiting belief, I wouldn't have done any of that. And so I think there's a lot of people right now who probably listen to your podcast, who listen to mine, I know, and they have a limiting belief about themselves. It's negative self-talk or it's a belief about someone else, some sort of limiting belief about the world. And if they would literally be able to change that one limiting belief or replace or help upgrade that one memory, they would experience that breakthrough. And so that's one of the big reasons why I wrote that book is that was really, you know, it's sort of a childhood trauma that then I was able to overcome through the process of replacing a limiting belief. And so first chapter of the book, I really get into, here's how you replace the limiting belief. Here's how you experience a breakthrough and also get into how do you find your identity, your purpose? How do you build a strong mindset to help you be your best? And so anyways, I hope everybody checks out the book. It's called Think This, Not That. It's in bookstores nationwide. It's on Amazon.com. And if you go to joshaxe.com, that's J-O-S-H-A-X-E, just my name, joshaxe.com, you can buy the book on there and I'll give you $500 worth of free bonuses. I have a mindset masterclass. We have a workbook that I'll send you a digital workbook to go with the book. But anyways, I really think for anybody who wants to experience a breakthrough, it's a great book. And people can also find me at Dr. Josh Axe on Instagram or listen to my podcast. By the way, Amy crushed my podcast. And so you should listen to the podcast I did with her. You can find it on YouTube or on any podcast station if you look up just, you know, Josh Axe and Amy Moore in here. But Amy, thanks for having me on. I love so much what you do. I've been seeing your books everywhere. And it's sort of now that I follow you, I'm seeing your content everywhere, which is so incredible. But thanks so much for having me on.
Well, thanks for being on the show. Thanks for sharing that story too, because I think that is such a powerful thing, how our beliefs, which often go back to when we were 7 years old or sometime during childhood. And sometimes it's the stuff other people told us. And if we don't know anything different, I was told I was painfully shy my entire life. Every report card I had said she can't speak. And would have never believed I would grow up to have a podcast, to give a TEDx talk. So I think until we let go of those beliefs, we often do stay stuck. And your book does an amazing job of explaining that and so many other skills and strategies for developing a more powerful mindset. So thank you for writing it and thanks for being on the show today.
Awesome. Thanks, Amy.
Welcome to The Therapist Take. It's the part of the show where I'll break down Dr. Axe's strategies and share how you can apply them to your life. Here are 3 of my favorite strategies that he shared. 1, visualize yourself doing the hard work. I was thrilled that he emphasized the importance of doing this too, because I see so many books and other quote unquote experts saying that you should visualize yourself reaping the rewards. But the research is clear that when you do that, you actually decrease your motivation. So whether you're trying to advance your career or you want to improve your health, spend time visualizing yourself working hard, whether that means that you go to extra sales trainings or you're writing for hours on end. Imagine yourself doing the hard work to get there. If you want to hear more about how to use this visualization strategy to increase your chances of success, go back and listen to episode 43. I did an entire Friday fix about it. Number two, balance self-acceptance with self-improvement. This is important. If you convince yourself that you're not going to have a good life until you reach a certain milestone or until things get better, you won't have a good life. One of the best things you could do is work on creating the best life possible for yourself right now, regardless of whatever it is that you're facing. You can still accept yourself for where you are today while also wanting things to get better in the future. So I was glad that Dr. Axe talked about this, because even if you don't ever hit a specific milestone or it doesn't happen for a really long time, you can still appreciate where you are right now. And number three, channel your inner superhero. Our emotions often get in the way of our decisions and they affect our motivation. One of the best ways to manage that is to gain psychological distance, because taking a step back gives you a more objective perspective. One of the funnest ways to do that is to channel your inner superhero. Dr. Axe talked about a famous study called the Batman Effect. It shows that when you call yourself by the name of a superhero, you can pick whoever your favorite superhero is, you increase your motivation, and that will help you make wiser decisions. I did an episode on that too. If you're curious how to channel your inner superhero, go listen to episode 15 about the superhero mindset, and I share how you can make this strategy work for you too. So those are three of Dr. Axe's strategies that I highly recommend. Visualize yourself doing the hard work, balance self-acceptance with self-improvement, and channel your inner superhero. To hear more of his tips for healing yourself and changing your mindset, check out his new book, Think This, Not That. Thank you for hanging out with me today and for listening to the Mentally Stronger podcast. If you like the show, leave us a review on Apple or Spotify. That's one of the best ways to help us get the show in front of other people so we can make the world a stronger place. And if you want even more tips on building mental strength, subscribe to Mentally Stronger Premium. Every week, I answer questions from the Mentally Stronger audience and I answer them on a special bonus episode. And every month, all the members get a cool monthly exclusive extra, like a mental strength cheat sheet or even signed copies of my book in the mail. Sign up at mentallystronger.supercast.com or click on the link in the show notes. And if you know somebody who could benefit from learning more about mental strength, share this show with them. Simply sharing a link to this episode could help someone feel better and grow stronger. And as always, a big thank you to my show's producer, who's a firm believer in the power of the mind, Nick Valentine.
This episode is brought to you by the Yap Media Podcast Network. I'm Hala Taha, CEO of the award-winning digital media empire, Yap Media, and host of Yap Young and Profiting Podcast, a number one entrepreneurship and self-improvement podcast where you can listen, learn, and profit. On Young and Profiting Podcast, I interview the brightest minds in the world, and I turn their wisdom into actionable advice that you can use in your daily life. Each week, we dive into a new topic like the art of side hustles, how to level up your influence and persuasion, and goal setting. I interview A-list guests on Young and Profiting. I've got the best guests, like the world's number one negotiation expert, Chris Voss, Shark Damon John, serial entrepreneurs Alex and Layla Hormozi, and even movie stars like Matthew McConaughey. There's absolutely no fluff on my podcast, and that's on purpose. Every episode is jam-packed with advice that's going to push your life forward. I do my research, I get straight to the point, and I take things really seriously, which is why I'm known as the podcast princess and how I became one of the top podcasters in the world in less than 5 years. Young and Profiting Podcast is for all ages. Don't let the name fool you. It's an advanced show. As long as you want to learn and level up, you will be forever young. So join podcast royalty and subscribe to Young and Profiting Podcast, or Yap, like it's often called by my Yap fam, on Apple, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.